Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this selection from Late Night with Seth Meyers, airing weeknights at 12:35, 11:35 Central on NBC, right after The Tonight Show.
Our first guest tonight is a U.S. senator from Vermont who won 22 states in the Democratic primary. His new book, Our Revolution, A Future to Believe In, is in stores now. Please welcome back to the show our friend, Senator Bernie Sanders, everybody.
I am great.
It's always so nice to have you here. I feel like we've had you about four times in a little under 2 years, and every time you come, the world is completely different than the last time you were here. And now we're in the situation where a lot of people within the Democratic Party are looking for leadership. They're looking for new ideas after this election. And a lot of people are turning to you, which must be strange because you were not even in the Democratic Party for a very long time. So you, it must be strange for you to all of a sudden be at the head of something that you were an outsider for a very long time.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But I think the reason for that has a lot to do with the fact that we generated a whole lot of excitement in our campaign from working people, from young people who really want to bring about profound change in this country, and they're prepared to work for that. And I think the Democratic leadership understands that we need to bring those people into the party. We need to transform the party. We need to make the Democratic Party a Democratic Party with a small D. So all of you, come on in. We need your help.
There you go. Everybody in. The last time you were here, we were talking about the Democratic Party sort of building this progressive message and this progressive message moving forward. And in the book now, you talk about another difficult thing is not just a progressive message, but just dealing with reality. All of a sudden now, reality, which has been a thing that was assumed that we all agreed on, has shifted. How hard is it right now to just get people to accept the truth? Or not the truth, but things that are real and things that are facts?
Well, you know, we have a president elect who is not well known for being scrupulously honest. Let's say that.
That's a very nice way of saying it.
That's a nice way to say that. And I'll give you some examples. And we're going to hold him accountable on these issues. He campaigned among working people and he said, you know, I'm the only Republican out there. I'm not going to cut Social Security. I'm not going to cut Medicare. And I'm not going to cut Medicaid. Well, you know, Mr. Trump, we're going to hold you accountable for those statements. And this at a time when prescription drug costs are soaring. Mm-hmm. People can't afford the medicine they need. Some people are dying because medicine is so expensive. He said, I'm going to take on the drug companies. Well, Mr. Trump, we're going to work with you if you keep your word. But the point is you can't make statements in a campaign and then the day after the election, forget about them completely. As you mentioned earlier in the show, he said, we are going to be standing up for working people. We are anti-establishment. Well, if the cabinet that he appointed of billionaires and millionaires is anti-establishment, boy, I would hate to see what the establishment looks like.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there were so many Trump voters, and we were talking about this backstage, Trump voters who voted for Obama twice.
Yes.
And then voted for Donald Trump. So these people are not racists.
No.
They don't have a racist bone in their body. How did the Democratic Party lose those people? And what can they do to get them back?
Seth, this is maybe the most important point that I want to make. And we don't see it much on TV or in the media. There are a lot of people in this country who are hurting, who are in a lot of pain tonight. There are people who are 55 years of age who have zero amount of dollars in the bank as they await retirement. Half of the elderly workers in this country have nothing in the bank. There are young people who graduate college $50,000 in debt and they're making $14,000 a year. There are 28 million people who have no health insurance. There are others who are seeing their health care costs soar, their prescription drugs soar. There are people who are working at decent jobs in a factory. You know what happened? That factory moved to China, and now they're working at a Walmart for 10 bucks an hour, and they can't make it. And not only that, these are the people who are worried to death about their kids. Are their kids going to be able to have a home of their own? Can they get married and have the money to have kids? And Trump tapped that. He trapped that. He said, I hear you, and I'm going to do something about it. Well, between you and me, I don't think he was honest. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he was sincere. But he tapped that pain that people were feeling. And what we have got to do is to stand up for those people. And what we have got to do is get to the causes of those economic problems, which, in my view, has a lot to do with the greed of Wall Street and corporate America, whose greed is destroying the middle class of this country.
I agree with you there. President Obama has made it very clear that he is hoping for a successful presidency for President-elect Trump. I am certainly hoping he is a successful president as well. How do you envision a successful Donald Trump presidency in a way that makes someone like you happy?
Well, if he can create in this country or help create decent-paying jobs. The truth is, in rural America, in inner cities in this country, unemployment is very, very high, and wages are much too low. All right? Trump said that he wants to get rid of the Affordable Care Act and, by the way, throw 20 or 30 million people off of health insurance because we don't have to worry about that. He has a great plan to provide health care to all people. Well, Mr. Trump, if you are prepared to support something like a Medicare for All single-payer program, provide health care to every man, woman, and child, yeah, we will work with you. That's a sign of success. Mr. Trump has talked about the high cost of college. Well, Mr. Trump, if you want to make public colleges and universities tuition-free, that will mean the world to millions of families in this country whose kids desperately need a good higher education but can't afford to get it. So there are areas, infrastructure, trade, there are areas that, if he is successful, will improve this country. But let me tell you where we're not going to work with him. We will not give one inch on bigotry. This country has traveled too far to try to overcome racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia, and we cannot compromise one inch on bigotry.
Is it safe to say that if Donald Trump backslides on all his promises to the working people, you're going to be his biggest headache in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, you have been, in the last 2 years, a bit of a media sensation. You've made the talk show rounds. You've been on Saturday Night Live. One of the great things about this book is you talk about the first time you did a radio interview, and you were not the cool customer that we see here before us today.
Yes. I was on a radio show outside of Burlington, Vermont, and my knees were shaking so badly it kept bumping in to the table. And the guy who was producing, he was like, stop, stop, stop. So my first appearance on Vermont radio was people, I don't know if they heard what I said, they heard this. So that was my introduction to Vermont politics.
They kept calling in and saying, let that senator out of whatever box you have him in.
Wasn't a senator.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right. Once they heard you banging the desk, they said, we got to give this guy a job. He's a mess. You do have a lot of photos in here of your time on talk shows. And, you know, you've been on this show four times, Colbert, There's a photo of Colbert. There's a photo of Fallon. Got a little Jimmy Kimmel in here. I did not make the book. Senator Sanders. I did not make the book. An oversight.
An oversight.
Okay. You probably...
I apologize.
It's probably
right.
Not your last book, right?
That's right. You'll be on the prominently displayed. As a matter of fact, we'll put your picture.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll be in the background. So, you know, I think one of the things that any party is facing after a loss in an election like this is how do you keep the young people, and you mentioned your campaign drew so much attention and so much passion from young people. How do you keep young people inspired for the next 4 years?
Well, look, it is young people, but it's not just young people. What I think we have to appreciate is Trump transformed politics in America. That's what he did. Our job is to re-transform politics, is to respond accordingly, which means we have got to be active in the political process in a way that we have never been before in our lives. We have got to rethink what democracy means. And if we remember that the fight for civil rights was a huge fight, which involved millions and millions of people, we get hope. When we talk about women's rights, you know, 100 years ago, Seth, you well know, women weren't running for president. They didn't have the right to vote. But women organized with their male allies, stood up. Gay rights, people organized and stood up. Here is the truth. Trump can propose anything he wants, but he will not succeed in ugly decisions if millions of people stand up and fight back and tell him that is not what America is.
When you were last here, you said that if the Democratic Party lost this election, which they did, they would have to go back to the drawing board. Do you find that that is happening right now?
That's exactly what we're doing.
Okay, good.
All right, tomorrow night, we're going to be doing a live stream. I hope people follow it. I am strongly supporting a congressman from Minnesota, Keith Ellison, to become the new chair of the Democratic Party. And what Keith wants to do is to transform the party to make it a grassroots party, not a party just dependent on wealthy people, which is too much the case right now. So the goal is to open the doors of the Democratic Party to young people who are concerned about the environment and climate change, people who are concerned about women's rights, people who are concerned about economic and social justice. The truth of the matter is, and I want everybody to appreciate this, on every major issue facing the country, whether it is raising the minimum wage, whether it is pay equity, whether it is health care for all, whether it is taking on a broken criminal justice system, the majority of the American people support a progressive agenda. Our job is to get those people involved and to fight to transform this country.
Now, I want to ask, because this always happens as soon as these things are over, people start talking about 2020. They start talking about the next election. That is not for you. Is that correct? You are not happy about people focusing that far into the future.
Because that's what the media loves, because we can focus on the interview. Are you going to run for president in 2086? Let's talk about that. We'll do a poll. Rather than say, what are the real problems? Why is the middle class disappearing? Why do we have so much income and wealth inequality? What are we going to do about it? Why are we the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people or paid family and medical leave? Let's talk about those issues. Let's involve people in the process, and leadership will naturally come from that type of discussion.
Now, I just want to finish with this. Do you still generate from within yourself hope and optimism? Is that still alive in Senator Bernie Sanders right now?
It really is. If there's anything, maybe the most moving part of my campaign for president was just meeting literally well over a million people face-to-face in large rallies, small-town meetings, and seeing the beauty of this country. And that's just not rhetoric, Seth. There are incredible, beautiful people out there, young people, old people, working people who love this country. And more than a few put their lives on the line to defend this country. And they want to make this country the country that we all know it can become. So I saw an enormous amount of beauty and hope in this country, which makes me very optimistic.
Well, it's always such a pleasure to have you here. It's an open invitation. Thank you so much. Senator Bernie Sanders, everybody.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Tumblr. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night with Seth Meyers at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.